Well, howdy doody, Captain. What time is it, kids?
Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Weather lady really laid a big K-ella on us today, didn't
man,
she, huh? Boy,
special.
Nikki, good going there, lady. Nice forecast, too, if you like a little rain in your life. We're going to get that. Keep the garden growing. Keep the grass green. Keep you mowing the grass, too. Good afternoon, everybody. Stan Turner with you here. Hour number one, the Wednesday edition of the Wolf Brewing Company All Request and Dedication Program. Here we are. We've got you. You've got us. Boy, that's magic, huh? The music is the glue that holds us together here. Bobby J. is with us. Couldn't do it without him. Bobby, top of the day to you.
Yeah, top of the day right back at you.
Thank you, my friend. We're not going to waste any time here. We've got to get going because this edition, we always try to make our shows special for you. Dare we say we have something very or extra special for you over the next 2 hours. Something we would also dare say is important, too. Yes, this Wednesday, August the 16th. Lots of memories in the air today.
Memories pressed between the pages of my mind.
There was a lot of candle power in Memphis, Tennessee last night and through the early morning hours. Tens of thousands of people from around the world lit a candle in memory of and in tribute to Elvis Presley, who died on this date 40 years ago. The anniversary of Elvis's passing, yes, it's always a big deal, especially in his adopted hometown of Memphis. But this year, the 40th anniversary, the numbers are bigger. Nobody really knows exactly how big, but very big to be sure. So, folks, good friends, where were you when you heard the news August 16th? 1977. You likely do remember, just as many people remember their whereabouts, say, on November 22nd, 1963, JFK's assassination. This is one of those moments you never really forget, do you? We are remembering Elvis on the All Request Show today, and rightly so. So many of you have sent along your Elvis song requests, and we're going to play as many as we can squeeze into these next 2 hours. Plus, we will be talking live with several folks in Memphis. These are people who well remember August 16th, 1977, because they covered the story as news reporters. And Bobby, you've done yeoman's work rounding up these people. I can't wait to hear what they have to say. It's going to be great. So we have lots of stories, lots of memories, and lots to celebrate. This man, Presley, who lit up our lives and still does. So Elvis, let's rock it.
Don't be a stingy little mama. You're about to stop me half to death. Now you can spare a kiss or two, and still I've been in heaven on the bay.
No, 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 no.
I ain't asking what to you.
No, 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 no. You're so big, a big, a big, a big.
Give me just a one to three. No, 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 no,
The guy had an absolute blast recording his songs. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, that's the number one song from our number one guy today, Elvis from 1959. A Big Hunk of Love. Yeah, that topped the charts back then. This is interesting in many ways. Big Hunk of Love, Harv driving rocker there. This is the first session that did not include guitarist Scotty Moore and bassist Bill Black. They had both worked with Elvis since his first recordings at Sam Phillips' Sun Records. The guy doing that great guitar lick in there, Hank Garland, playing his Gibson Birdland guitar for the record. Floyd Kramer on the piano, burning up the piano there. Bob Moore on double bass. Buddy Harmon and DJ Fontana on the drums. Oh, man, oh, man. Now, the song was recorded in four takes, and the one you heard, the released version, is actually spliced from takes number 3 and 4. And Elvis was having a grand time through all four takes, I can guarantee you that, huh? Isn't that a great way to start things, huh?
Oh, yeah.
That's the way Elvis would like it. Elvis Week, they call it, Bobby. It happens every year in Memphis since his passing in 1977. Things started last Friday. They had fan club presidents event, fan club presidents from all over the world coming to Memphis. So past Saturday, they had Elvis auction going on, an evening concert. This past Sunday, a morning concert, a panel discussion, an evening concert. Then Monday, a couple days ago, another panel discussion. A lot of those, a lot of experts coming, like Peter Gorelnick, people who are authors, who are authorities on Elvis. Just yesterday, afternoon fan event. Yes, something for all the tens of thousands of fans pouring into Memphis who are there now. And last night, as we said, starting at 8:30, a candlelight vigil that went all through the night. People with their candles going on to the Graceland property, paying their respects to Elvis and his relatives at the gravesite. And, oh, this year, getting charged to get onto the property.
That's right.
We'll talk more about our folks in Memphis about that. Turn some people off, but not away. I think they're still there, and they're willing to cough up the $28 and some change for the, as they would see it, the honor to pay homage to Elvis. So the events don't stop today either. Elvis Week in Memphis will go on Thursday. Yes, there'll be an ultimate Elvis tribute artist contest. These are Elvis impersonators. They'll be in the semifinal round on Thursday, then have the big deal on Friday and pick a winner there. And Saturday, that'll be the final day of the event, so it's a week-long deal. It's a big deal. I wouldn't mind being there either, boy. That would be great. They made some changes this year. There's a new entertainment complex, and again, we'll get the details on that from the folks we'll be talking with. And you've really lined up some wonderful folks here. The people we're hoping to chat with here during the course of this, and we should be getting to the first guest here in just a couple of minutes, Rob Grayson, who is a current radio host on Morning Edition. That sounds like public radio to me in Memphis. Mm-hmm. At the time of Elvis's death, he was a nighttime disc jockey at WHBQ, a red hot AM station in Memphis, just down the road from Sun Records. Later, probably next hour, Professor Otis Sanford, a University of Memphis professor. In 1977, he joined the newspaper, the Commercial Appeal, as a general assignment reporter, and boy, did he get a story to cover that day, huh? We'll get his recollections. And then later next hour, Dave Brown, who was a weather guy on a Memphis TV station, he was pressed into action.
Yeah.
All hands on deck. I don't care that you're a weather guy. You're going to help cover this story. Probably the biggest they've ever covered down there in Memphis. So we've got lots of special things for you this hour and next hour, too. Stan Turner with you here, Bobby J. Let's do another Elvis song. So many requests, folks. Thank you so much for your participation. Bobby, we could easily be here for the next 24 hours and never play the same Elvis song twice, huh? Here's one we got to play for sure by request. Yeah. Oh, boy. Remember Elvis in the striped uniform behind bars? Sure you do.
Purple gang, let it rock. Everybody, let it rock. Everybody in the old jail, let it rock. We'll dance to the jail, let it rock.
This is where Elvis the Pelvis was really on display in the movie of the same name, Jailhouse Rock. Remember that? Remember dancing with the other cons, the other inmates there? Elvis choreographed most of his moves in that movie, and this was a number one hit for Elvis. When didn't he have a number one hit? This is from 1957. The genius songwriting team of Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller put that one together, and Elvis did the rest, as he always did. We mentioned the candlelight vigil last night in Memphis, starting about 8:30 or so, and lasting throughout the darkness into the early morning hours today. Priscilla Presley, of course, the Elvis's former wife, and Lisa Marie Presley, their daughter, were there to thank the crowd for their love and their dedication. The best way to get the story today is to talk to those people who are there and who know the story and who were there on the momentous day 40 years ago today when Elvis Presley passed away. We are so grateful to Rob Grayson of Memphis. He is the current radio host, the Morning Edition, the public radio station. And Rob, first of all, thank you so much for joining us today, my friend. How you doing?
Thanks for having me. I sure do appreciate it. Having a great day down here.
Yes, sir. Well, how many people, does anybody, usually the police try, they shoot for an estimate of the crowd. Do you have any notion, does anybody have any notion of how many thousands of people are in town for this event?
A bunch. That's about as close as I can get to it.
Thanks, Rob. A bunch. I've heard estimates ranging up to 50,000. Who knows? Nobody will ever get a handle on the precise number. The town is
sort of like on August 16th in 1977, I was in a bunker somewhere running a radio show when all of that went down. It's the same thing here. I'm working at three different radio stations, and so I really don't get out amongst them that much right now.
Rob,
but I heard it was a ton, and there was a lot of chafing about that charging for going up to the gravesite.
Yeah, I think a lot of chafing, you call. A lot of people, some of them are saying, we're not coming back because what are they nicking everybody for? A wristband that costs, $28 and some change to get onto the Graceland property, and that, what do they call that, a new entertainment complex this year?
Absolutely. The spirit of Colonel Tom Parker lives on.
Make that money. Cha-ching, cha-ching. Huh? Okay. So what's in the entertainment complex, Rob?
I know Elvis Radio is relocated over there, the satellite radio place, and then they've got a lot of other merchandising places for people to get good things.
Mm-hmm. Well, Rob Grayson, you, 40 years ago today, you were, the night disc jockey at Memphis radio station WHBQ.
I'll never tell. Well, I still maintain you look awful funny dancing bear.
Boy, you sure don't sound like a public radio host to me.
No, not as such.
That's an air check from Rob Grayson at WHBQ back in the day. Mm-hmm. So where were you? What happened? You're working the overnight, and when did you get the news that Elvis had died?
What the deal is the afternoon jock was on vacation that day. Mm-hmm. So I was filling in afternoons when the calls started coming in, when the news broke. Mm-hmm. I went on the air about 2 o'clock in the afternoon and started answering the request line, and I got a call from someone whose roommate was a nurse at Baptist Hospital saying they had brought Elvis in and it didn't look good. And looking back on it, it wasn't that unusual to hear about Elvis going to the hospital, because Elvis would occasionally go to the hospital for quote-unquote exhaustion every once in a while. And he even had his own suite where they would black the windows out for him. So I got that call, and then I got a call from my wife who was working at the time down at the police station downtown in Memphis with the same news. So I hopped up and ran down the hall to the news person on duty and told them what I heard. And she was also getting news in from another guy who had direct connections to George Klein and the inner circle. So we were on the story ASAP.
Did you get downtown? Did you get into the throngs of people who had gathered? I suppose they were coming in from all over as the news
Absolutely
spread.
Absolutely all over.
Yeah.
They were all over Elvis Presley Boulevard at the time, and I lived around the corner from Elvis Presley Boulevard at that time, so I had to circumvent the traffic trying to get in and out, but there were throngs of folks, and I'm not a go-get-in-the-middle-of-a-crowd type guy, so I kind of watched it from afar.
Sure. Rob, did you ever meet Elvis, or did you ever see him around town?
Closest I ever came was working with George Klein, who was Elvis's best friend, who Elvis was the best man at his wedding, and I worked with George, so tangentially, I would hear about Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, you're going to be talking with Dave Brown a little later this afternoon.
That's right, we are.
When you talk to Dave, be sure and ask him the story about how he had to work extra the day that Elvis gave George a Cadillac.
Okay, Elvis gave George a Cadillac, okay.
He had to hang on the air extra and work while Elvis, while George went and got his keys.
Yeah. Yeah. How many Cadillacs did Elvis give you, Rob?
Zero.
Zero.
At this time.
Zero. Okay. Well, Rob, that station at which you work, WHBQ, I believe that is the legendary station where a guy named Daddy-O Dewey Phillips used to spin records on something called Red Hot and Blue in the evening. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's right. I always give WHBQ as the credit for the first station to play an Elvis record all the way through.
Yep.
There was another jock at WREC Radio who had been given the same record that Dewey Phillips had, a guy named Fred Cook, and he put it on, and he played about 30 seconds of it, and he took the needle off the record and handed it back to Marion Kaisker, who gave it to him and said, "This is the worst piece of..."
I'm not.
And I genuinely did voiceover. This guy had the voice of God, and I did voiceovers with this guy sessions for years. And in his 80s, he was still standing by that.
Right.
But he didn't play the record all the way through. That night, Dewey Phillips played it over and over and over, and Dewey became a legend.
He did. Dewey Phillips, no blood relation to Sam Phillips of Sun Records,
right,
down the street. You mentioned Marion Kaisker. She was the co-manager at Sun Records there. So she was hand-delivering the record. Dewey played it all the way through. And what we're going to do here right now, Rob, is play that record that Dewey Phillips played all the way through and kind of launched Elvis on his way. Here it is. Making all that great noise. Elvis, of course, and Billy Black on the upright slapping that bass, yeah, and then Scotty Moore on the guitar there. This song, 1954. It's an old blues song that Elvis liked. Arthur Crudup did it back in the 1940s. And according to Scotty Moore, the guitar player, that session at Sun Records that day in 1954 was not so smooth, kind of ad-lib, kind of fake it as you go. He says Elvis started jumping around, quote, acting the fool, which drew the ire of Sam Phillips, who owned the label, and recording studio. Phillips made them start over. He re-racked the tape, and it was this second take that was the keeper that you just heard and essentially launched Elvis on his way. Our man on the phone right now, so nice of him to spend some time with us, a guy who knows the inside stuff here, Rob Grayson, then a disc jockey at WHBQ, that was the first station with the first disc jockey to play that song we just played for you. Rob, currently you're with the public radio station in Memphis, and this guy who was with you back in the day at WHBQ, Dewey Phillips, the guy who played that song all the way through. He was some kind of character, wasn't he? Tell us about him.
He was something else. He was kind of a, as you say, a character who was running the record department at a store on Beale Street when he was discovered. He had a lot of personality and sold a lot of records out of that Beale Street location, and somebody put him on the air. He was a little rough on equipment. They gave him his own little studio to work in, and I think you see a replica of that now if you go on the Sun Studio Tour. They've recreated the studio that Dewey Phillips had.
What did he do? Did he chew up the microphones and break the turntables? What did he do?
Broke needles and spilled stuff and this, that, and the other.
By one description, Dewey Phillips was Memphis's leading radio personality for 9 years. He was the first to, as we say, simulcast Red, Hot, and Blue, his show on radio, and later TV, too. I think he was sitting in front of the camera just goofing around playing his records. And I don't know if this is right or not, but during the 50s, Dewey had 100,000 listeners to his 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. to midnight slot there and received 3,000 letters a week. Boy, that's more than we get here, Rob, yeah. I want to tell you, huh?
The advantage Dewey had was Dewey was on at night, and there was an R&B station in town, the legendary WDIA, at that time was a daytime station. So they would sign off at sunset. Dewey would take those same R&B records and work them in with whatever the pop stuff was at the time. And so he had just a captive audience of the listeners all across the spectrum who really got into this stuff.
Yeah, put another way, Rob, he was not afraid to play black or so-called race records back then, too,
mm-hmm.
right? So he was playing both the black and the white music, and the listeners loved it. And of course, many of them were young people. I'm guessing, Rob, there were plenty of adults in the audience. They just wouldn't admit it, huh?
Right. Exactly.
yeah, I think so. So this guy, Dewey Phillips, by one reckoning, his on-air persona was a speed-crazed hillbilly. And we've got an air check of this guy, Phillips, Dewey Phillips, back in the early 50s. Here we go.
This flat fix and bring you the hottest thing in the country, Real Hot and Blue, coming to you through WHBQ in Memphis, Tennessee. And it's Friday night, tomorrow's payday and birthday. That's a good deal. Yes, sir, the first 15 minutes of Real Hot and Blue is coming to you through the courtesy of the best beer that money can buy. We're talking about CV for me and CV for you. That champagne velvet distributed by the Mass Security Company right here in the city of Memphis. I don't forget.
payday and birthday, Rob. How about that, huh?
That's it. Get you well there, a fella. Mad dogs on through the front door. Tell a fiddler.
And nobody liked that guy. Well, by many accounts, Dewey, he liked the John Barleycorn, and apparently a drug user, and lots of painkillers and amphetamines. That's where we get that speed-crazed disc jockey stuff. But he loved the radio. He loved what he was doing, and the radio listeners loved him, too. There's one case where he drove his car off the road. I can't imagine why that happened. And there's a photo... Yeah, uh-huh. Two guesses. He's pictured a newspaper photograph in his hospital bed with a WHBQ microphone doing his show from his hospital bed. Now, there is dedication, huh? Amazing.
It was too important. Yeah, he wasn't texting. Let's say that.
He wasn't. Well, this is all about Elvis today. And, Rob, any other stories you'd like to share with us? Rob Grayson with us from the public radio station in Memphis right now.
Thank you so much. I was the first morning man on Sirius Satellite Elvis Radio when they put it on and did it for a little over a year. And so I'm in more people's vacation photos than Mickey Mouse because they would come to the studio and have to get a picture with the disc jockey on the air. But it was an interesting introduction because, well, you played Jailhouse Rock a moment ago.
Mm.
That was the number one record when I was born. Elvis had had most of his number one records by the time I was born. Mm. So I came up in the Beatle era.
Yeah.
So Elvis was an education to me. I had to learn a lot of things, even though I was in Memphis and all of that. And I always said that Elvis and I had this in common. We were both working class teenagers born in Mississippi who came to Mississippi came to Memphis to seek our fame and fortune. After that point, our pals diverged. So.
Rob, it sounds to me like you're doing just fine right now. Hey, are you allowed to play Elvis on public radio down there? Hmm?
I have a little piece I played this morning that I put together about when I was on WHBQ. And so, yeah, we work in. And, of course, our news director there is a genuine Elvis freak. He did go get out in the middle of the crowd and did a story this morning from last night's vigil. And I work also at 30 miles north of Memphis in a town called Covington. I'm the program director of the AM and the FM there. The FM is country, but the AM is oldies. And today I'm doing Elvis' top 50 gold and platinum single countdown.
Wow, so, you are full immersion Elvis today, Rob Grayson, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Good luck.
I am up to here.
Yeah, I guess you are. Good luck getting through the throngs today as you try to wend your way home. So nice of you spend your time and share your memories with us, Rob Grayson. You can't. This is radio gold for us. You're in the business, and you know how important these kinds of first-person memories are, and you're just such a great guy to do this. Thank you so much, Rob.
Can I throw you one quick story?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
In 1977, when I was at WHBQ, our morning guy was a guy named Rick Deeds. You may have heard of him.
Oh, yes.
And Rick had Disco Duck, but he also went in the studio and recorded an Elvis takeoff song where he did an Elvis impersonation. And the song was making fun of Elvis recording in his home, which was happening. And it was called "He Ate Too Many Jelly Donuts." And the premise of it is he eats too many jelly donuts and explodes. He was playing this on the air while Elvis was still alive. I go, that takes nerve.
It sure does. We'll see if we can find that song. I don't know if it's out there or not.
Okay.
Rob Grayson, say hello to everybody. And Elvis lives, no doubt about it. Thanks, Rob.
You are so welcome.
Okay, my friend. There you go. Rob Grayson, now with Public Radio in Memphis. Back then, 40 years ago today, that guy was at WHBQ AM radio, right in the middle of things on the day that Elvis died.
And here's that song that he was just talking about, Rick Dees, and he ate too many jelly donuts.
You were the fastest guy in radio, Bobby. Jelly donuts, I want to be a jelly donut. Oh, a jelly donut. Oh. Hey, Bobby, would you please pass the jelly donuts to Jenna and me? Okay, we're a little bit hungry. There you go. Unbelievable. Well, I'll tell you what. We are celebrating the life of Elvis Presley on this, the 40th anniversary of his passing. We do believe that Elvis would want it this way. Not any mournful kind of a dirge here. No, no. We're going to celebrate all the good things he was and is about. And we'll continue that right after this. Please stay with us.
If you like what you hear on the Wolf Brewing Company All Request Show, let somebody know.
Better yet, stop in at one of our fine sponsors and thank them for supporting the show. Sponsors like
Riley Tours,
Timely Expressions,
River Valley Ford,
My Pillow,
Defined Destinations,
Scandia Shores of Shoreview,
Pro-Life Across America,
Wayback Burger in Woodbury,
Jaime's Haberdashery,
and of course, the Wolf Brewing Company.
Are you sick of waking up with a sore neck or a headache because of your pillow? Hi, this is Stan Turner, and I don't have those problems because I sleep on a MyPillow. MyPillow adjusts to the support I need, so I sleep great. All MyPillows have a patented interlocking fill that adjusts to your individual sleep needs. MyPillow gets you that deep sleep you need faster and keep you there longer, and it's that deep quality sleep that really makes a difference in how you feel in the morning. And with the KLBB 4-pack special, you'll get two premium bed pillows and two go-anywhere My Pillows, all for 50% off the regular price and free shipping. Call 800-313-8659. It's 800-313-8659. And make sure to mention KLBB for the 4-pack special. You can also go to MyPillow.com and enter promo code KLBB. Then you can say, I love My Pillow.
We are all aging. Have you ever thought or worried about planning for your parents or your own future? A free call to the Senior Linkage Line gives you objective help about housing, finances, and much more, so you can make the tough decisions when you need to. You'll get answers to questions you didn't know you had. Call Senior Linkage Line at 1-800-333-2433. That's 1-800-333-2433. Senior Linkage Line. We are aging.
Call 651-275-1220. The Wolf Brewing Company. All request and dedication show with Stan Turner is on Club 1220 KLBB.
First time that I appeared on stage, and it scared me to death. I really didn't know what the yelling was about. I didn't realize that my body was moving. It's a natural thing to me. So the manager backstage
That's what I do. What I do?
He said, well, whatever it is, go back and do it again.
That's the man telling his own story. We salute, we remember Elvis Presley on this, the 40th anniversary of his untimely death at Graceland in Memphis. Yes, 1977, August the 16th. Our thanks to Rob Grayson. My goodness, what a good radio guy with a great memory there and a wonderful sense of humor. And taking us right back to the day and the years since there with Elvis roaming around Memphis there and all the things that have gone on since. And those days inside the radio stations back then. We had a guy like Dewey Phillips, bigger than life character, who was just doing crazy things. Basically, Bobby, inventing the form of rock and roll radio at the time. Nobody had a playbook on that stuff. It was just, you know, the music was new, the artists were new, and the radio people were new, too. They didn't quite know that they had a tiger by the tail. But they I don't think they were interested in taming the tiger either. Just let it rock and roll. Next hour, we will be talking to two more folks from Memphis, Professor Otis Sanford. He's at the University of Memphis, was not a professorial type back in 1977. He had joined the newspaper, the Commercial Appeal in Memphis, as a general assignment reporter, and in August, 1977, he covered the biggest story of his career on the state 40 years ago. So we'll be talking to Otis Sanford. And then later in the hour, next hour, Dave Brown, who is a chief meteorologist, a weather guy at WMC-TV there in Memphis, and he worked as a meteorologist then 40 years ago today, and he was taken out of the weather room and put into the newsroom to help cover this biggest of big stories. We'll be talking to these guys too, and share with you some comments from other folks who have special memories of this. We mentioned to you that during the overnight midnight, actually 8:30 through the dawn's early light this morning, the candlelight vigil in Memphis at Elvis's gravesite, Priscilla Presley, Elvis's one-time wife, and their daughter Lisa Marie Presley, they were there, of course, to share with the crowd their love and affection for them showing up. And again, Bobby, we will probably never have anywhere near an exact headcount of how many people are in Memphis. They usually get around 30,000, but this being a special anniversary, it could go. Who knows? Maybe we'll get some numbers later. And some people are a little bit put off by, for the first time, having to pay $28.75 to get a wristband that allows you on to the Elvis Graceland property and the new entertainment center. But if I don't miss my guess, people are going to cough up the money, of them grudgingly, and do it anyway, because it's an occasion not to be squandered. You want to do it. So
that probably doesn't include parking either.
Probably not. As Rob Grayson said, this is a fine tribute to the man Tom. Colonel Tom Parker. Graceland is operated by Elvis Presley Enterprises, and they say it anticipates a huge crowds. It's updated security measures for this Elvis week, and let's see. So we'll keep you apprised of what's going on. I have the weather today in Memphis. It's a sultry day, as you might expect down there. It is was 82 degrees at airtime at noon here today. They have cloudy skies. High today of 90 degrees. Humidity is very, very high and on the climb. So
maybe you should do our weather while we're at it.
Well, I think I should. Let's do that indeed. Memphis, you're all queued up in Memphis if you're headed that way. Our weather, Twin Cities right now, a chance of rain and thunderstorms, then possibly a thunderstorm after 3 this afternoon. Let's just summarize that by saying on and off rain today. We'll have cloudy skies, high near 74. Tonight, the rain will continue on and off again. Some of those storms could produce heavy rainfall. Overnight low, 64 degrees. More rain in the Thursday forecast, so another cloudy day. Tomorrow, a high near 73. Gee, the temperatures are staying nice. Friday, we get to partly sunny Friday, a high near 80 degrees. Saturday and Sunday are still looking good. Saturday, the best of the 2 days. On the weekend, mostly sunny Saturday, 82 for a high. 84 on Sunday. We'll begin the day with a chance of rain, but by the afternoon, mostly sunny, high of 84. But the new week looks pretty good. Monday, a high near 82, and Tuesday, mostly sunny, a high of 80. Right now, if I heard the KLBB weather forecaster correctly, 68 degrees in the Twin Cities and 70. 4 degrees right now. It's 12:38. We salute Elvis on this special occasion with a song that is certainly apropos of the occasion. You know it. We started the show with it today as we introduced what we're going to do. Memories, remember that 1968 song, written by Billy Strange and Mac Davis, especially for Elvis to perform at Elvis's so-called comeback special on NBC TV. And that would air on NBC just before Christmas, 1968. Later, Mac Davis recalled that they had asked for a long, the TV show asked for a song about looking back over the years, and oddly enough, I had to write it in one night.
No.
Mac says, I stayed up all night at Billy Strange's house in L.A. He had a little office set up in his garage, and I wrote it right there. I'll never understand why that song didn't chart higher than number 35, taken from his NBC comeback special in 1968. Memories, Billy Strange and Mac Davis combining their songwriting talents on that one. Beautiful. The song is included, if you're looking for it, on the album Elvis, the soundtrack album for that NBC special in which it was first performed. And for the TV show itself, the song was recorded live. I can remember Elvis sitting there in a black leather outfit. Yep. Just amazing. I mean, he probably had a couple of costume changes, but that one sticks in my memory. But the album features a studio version, and that's the one we played here. They added some strings and some other embellishments, and it's beautifully done. So, memories. Speaking of, you all have a lot of memories. We all do have memories. And we have one lady on the line who's got some memories. Who's there, please?
Mary Veers, and I am from Lake Elmo.
Oh, hi. Thank you so much, Mary, and hi to everybody in Lake Elmo. Mary, I understand that your father, this would have been back in the late 1950s, your father was in Germany and served in the Army at the time Elvis was there, huh?
I grew up in the military. My father was a colonel in the Army, and we lived a lot of places, and one of the places we lived was Germany. And a friend of my father's was a commanding officer for the outfit that Elvis Presley was assigned to when he went into the Army. And this guy always talked about what a wonderful soldier Elvis was, how he never expected any special treatment, how he did everything that was told that he was told to do. He was wanted to be treated like everybody else, and he was. And this officer said he wished all of his men were as cooperative and good as Elvis had been, and how much he admired and appreciated what a great soldier he was. And he said you would never have known that he was somebody so rich and so famous because he never acted that way. He never put on airs like he was better than the rest of the people that were there. You know, they were all the same. And so he really, really appreciated spending that time with Elvis and always spoke so fondly of him.
That's a remarkable memory of what your father had to say, Mary. Thank you so much in Lake Elmo. Wow. You know, that squares, Mary, with everything we've heard about Elvis over the years. You know, you're going to hear some candy coating here and there about how great these people are. Elvis apparently did. Obviously, he came from humble origins, and he never lost that common man's touch. And he was, in a word, grateful. I think grateful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was surrounded by a group called the Memphis Mafia. He could barely take a breath without their approval. But somehow, his true personality shone through. Amazing. We've got another friend on the line right here, a listener. Kevin in Lakeville got some Elvis memories. Hi, Kevin. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Stan. How you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Hey, this is interesting. The guy you just had on, a disc jockey from Memphis.
Yes.
And he was talking about the show he was doing today. He was counting down at Elvis' top 50 songs.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, how many groups put out, you know, the best hits of XXX? There might be six or eight songs on a whole album that you can recognize. Here he's doing 50. And he's like, it blows you away in comparison.
Does. And that's not the half of it or a quarter of it.
No.
Output.
I saw Elvis. I'm trying to think what year it was. I think it was 69 or 70. I saw him in Vegas.
Oh, lucky you.
That was the most amazing show I've ever seen.
All right, tell us a bit about it, Kevin. What struck you? You knew what to expect.
Yeah, so, you know, the curtains were closed on the stage, and the music was playing in the background, and I think it was, might have been Space Odyssey, 2000, whatever. But every time the music built, they shot a different color of light up on the stage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it kept building, like that. Finally, when the curtains opened up, I mean, you were expecting a second coming. Right?
Yeah.
It was so fantastic. And then he started off, he started singing. He's walking up and down in front of the stage, and he had on his, like, pink or whatever scarf on his neck, and somebody would take it off, and he would keep singing, and you wouldn't even notice it, but an assistant came and put another scarf on his neck. and I don't know how many pieces, how many groups, and it was amazing. It was an amazing show, just fantastic.
Mm-hmm. You're lucky. You're among the lucky.
I was.
Yeah, I never had the chance. I had the chance. Yeah. I didn't take it. He came through the Twin Cities here a few times, and woe is me that I didn't get down there. So, Bobby, you never caught him. But Kevin did. Kevin, that's wonderful. Mm. And so we're happy for you, my friend. By the way, I have a scarf person.
And you guys are doing fantastic.
Thank you.
Love it.
Thank you. And I just want to tell you, I have a scarf person, too, and that person follows me around. And nobody wants my scarf, Kevin.
I thought banana peel you had on there.
Okay, you got it, boy. Thanks, Kev.
Guys.
Good friend of the show there and ours, Kevin in Lakeville. Thank you. You know, everybody's got an Elvis memory, even if they never met them. He's so big in our life. Elvis Presley. Well, we heard from Mary a bit ago. Her father served with Elvis in the Army in Germany. And Germany had produced inspired a couple of songs that Elvis did, including this one from 1960. And Elvis actually tried out a little German, too, a little Auf Deutsch here. Let's see how he did.
Can't you see I love you? Please don't break my heart in two. That's hard to do, cause I don't have a moving heart. And if you say goodbye, then I know that I would cry. Maybe I would die, cause I don't have a moving heart. There's no strings upon this love of mine. It was always you from the start. Treat me nice, treat me good, treat me like you really should. Cause I'm not made of wood, and I don't have a wooden heart. Moose again, zum Städtelehinhaus. Städtelehinhaus. Bleibst hier. Muss ich denn zum Städtele hinaus? Städtele hinaus und du, mein Schatz, bleibst hier. There's no strings upon this love of mine. It was always you from the start. Sei mir gut, wie du wirklich sollst, wie du wirklich sollst, cause I don't have a word.
If I were Elvis's German teacher, I'd give him a B-plus on that, huh? B-plus, Buddy, what do you think, huh?
Yeah.
Wooden Heart, Elvis, 1960. That German, sei mir gut, all the rest of it. We heard Mein Schatz, that's My Dear, of course. The other German, be good to me, be to me how you really should, how you really should. There you are. Number one song for Elvis in the United Kingdom, never released as a single in the United States. The guy who had the single with Wooden Heart here was a guy named Joe Dowell. Yeah, he got the number one. They just didn't release it off Elvis's album here, so that's why it never charted number one as a single here. Nice song, redolent of Elvis's time in Deutschland there. I think he met Lisa Marie there. Excuse me. Lisa Marie. He met her, but his wife.
Right,
there,
yeah.
Priscilla.
Priscilla.
I think she was maybe part of a military family there. So there you are. 12:50 right there, moving it ahead. 68 degrees. We remember Elvis on the 40th anniversary of his passing.
This is Tom from TimelyExpressions.com on KLBB Imagination Radio. Imagine you need a gift for that someone special, but you're here and they're there. Imagine if you could make one call and be done. You can! Call us at 612-414-3674 and we will help you create the perfect customized embroidered gift. Make it, gift wrap it, and add a card from you and mail it. They will wonder how you did it, but they will know how much you care.
We've all heard the saying that there's no free lunch, but that's not true anymore, because when you make an appointment to tour Scandia Shores of Shoreview, you do get a free lunch, a chef-prepared meal just for you. It's all part of your tour of their exceptional facilities. This is an independent senior living community offering a welcoming atmosphere and a comfortable lifestyle. Think about never having to be alone. No worries about driving for groceries when the weather is bad. Lawn mowing, shoveling snow, meal prep, that's all taken care of for you. Scandia Shores of Shoreview is a community of friends for seniors who desire their own apartments but also like to gather for social events and activities. Call 651-415-9793 and make an appointment for a tour. That includes the free lunch made by Chef Joe. See for yourself the beautiful building and spacious apartments that include those full-size appliances and plenty of cabinets and closets. Most of all, meet the warm and friendly staff at Scandia Shores of Shoreview. Call 651-415-9793.
Did you know Wolf Beer has a brewing history that stretches back to the 1860s? Did you also know that Wolf Brewing Company has a baseball heritage as well? Yep, it's true. In fact, in the early 1900s, the Wolf Brewing Company fielded a team that would regularly beat teams from the Minneapolis and St. Paul area. And while fans were watching great baseball, they would ask for Wolf's. So when you're listening to great baseball, do the same. Ask for Wolf's, Stillwater's original craft beer. Wolf Brewing Company, Stillwater, Minnesota.
The 1920s were a golden age for baseball and custom-tailored clothing.
That golden age is back at Jaime's Haberdashery in St. Paul. Jaime's Haberdashery helps men look and feel their best with high-quality clothing cut and styled just for them. Make each visit uniquely yours with hats, suits, casual wear, and accessories. Visit their barber shop for a hot lather shave. It's the golden age again at Jaime's Haberdashery, 400 St. Peter Street in downtown St. Paul. Online at Jaime's.com.
Right now at Subway, get a foot-long sweet onion chicken teriyaki or a foot-long Subway club for only $6. Two of our most popular sandwiches at a compelling value. This deal won't be here long, so enjoy it while it lasts. For a limited time only at participating restaurants, Subway.
Stan is playing your song. Thanks for listening to the Wolf Brewing Company All Request and Dedication Show on Club 1220 KLBB.
I've never written a song. I've never written a song. Well, I wish I could. I wish I was like some of my rivals, Carl Perkins and Gene Vincent. Those guys, they're pretty good songwriters. But me, I did good to get out of high school, you know.
As the snow flies on a cold and gray Chicago morning.
There's a Mac Davis song. Elvis did a masterpiece on, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Amazing. Elvis Presley remembering the King of the King on this, the 40th anniversary of his passing. Elvis Presley really thought the world of Jerry Reed. Elvis loved strong guitar players. Nobody could bend them strings better than Jerry Reed. One time Jerry was out fishing. Somebody found him in an old fishing hole and said, Elvis needs you in Nashville in the recording studio right now. He's not satisfied with the picker he's got. So Jerry threw down his fishing gear and ran to Nashville.
That was before cell phones.
That's right. I think so. Just a little bit. Yeah. Well, Jerry Reed wrote some songs, too. Elvis talking about songwriting. Well, a guy named Jerry did write this song that Elvis did, kind of a country music song that Elvis knew how to handle those pretty well, too. Remember this one?
I'm a U.S. male because I was born in a Mississippi town on a Sunday morning. Now, Mississippi just happens to occupy a place in the southeastern portion of this year, United States. Now, that's a matter of fact, buddy, and you know it well. So I just call myself the U.S. male. That's M-A-L-E, son. That's me. I've been watching the way you've been watching my miss. For the last 3 weeks, you've been hot on her trail. You kind of upset this U.S. mayor. You touch her once with your greasy hand, I'm gonna stretch your neck like a long rubber band. She's wearing a ring that I bought her on sale. That makes her the property of this U.S. mayor. You better not mess with the U.S. mayor, my friend. U.S. mayor gets mad, he's going to do you in. You better find somebody else, son. Don't tamper with the property of the U.S. mayor.
Postage stamp, boy. And guess who's playing lead guitar on that track? Jerry Reed, the guy what wrote the song. Yeah. U.S. Mail at number 28 hitter for Elvis back in 1968. We got another full hour coming of our tribute to Elvis on this, the four-decade anniversary of his untimely death. We'll be talking to two more folks down in Memphis, Tennessee, people who covered the story of their life. Elvis is passing 40 years ago today. So stay with us. More great Elvis requests of your choosing. Let's hear one, or at least part of one, from Elvis in the early 1960s. Nice song.
She's sitting right over there. I'd know that face anywhere. I'd run up and embrace her, but I'm ashamed to face her. Just other Jim's hello. I'd like to pour out my heart, but I don't know where to start. I'd like to tell her what I'm really feeling, but just tell her Jim's hello. Tell her Jim's son,